If you have your Bibles with you or would like to take one that's in the pew there, please open up, if you would, in your New Testaments to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. If you happen to be using the pew Bibles, you will find the passage that we are looking for. On page 829, if you're using one of the pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5. This particular chapter, as Paul is writing to the church there at Ephesus, he is trying to make the church realize that being unified in spirit, being unified in love, being unified in grace are three very, very important issues for the church to really survive and for it to be a God-honoring church. And so we're going to look at this fifth chapter and try to work our way through this. All right? We'll begin at chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says this, therefore. And remember what we said about when you read the word therefore? You have to look what it's there for. Right? So you go back up a little bit. And Paul is talking about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is God who dwells in us. And He gives us guidance. He gives us leadership. He is the one who reveals the truth of the Word of God to us. He is the entity of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who literally makes salvation reality to us. And then He gives us His guidance and leadership. And so Paul is talking with them and he says, look, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What can grieve the Holy Spirit? Sin in our life can grieve the Holy Spirit. An unwillingness to be open to God's direction can grieve the Holy Spirit. And that becomes just a huge, huge issue in the body of Christ, in the church. Okay? And so now as Paul begins here, he says, therefore, in that fifth chapter, be imitators of God as beloved children. Become imitators of God. What does it mean to become an imitator? Act like, okay. Anything else? Have the same mind, okay. Anything else? Okay, becoming like that particular person, right? And so what is Paul saying here? He's saying, look, become imitators of God. And to be an imitator of God, that means that we must take on His mindset. Paul said, let the same mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And by that phrase, what he's saying is, let the same intentions of your heart, the same passions of your life, be those things like God has. And what do we know about God? We know that the essence of God's character is that God is what? Love. Right? God is love. Therefore, we are to take on the characteristic of love. And so Paul is reminding the church there at Ephesus, look, be imitators of God. Take on the essence of the character of God, of the nature of God, and love one another. And so this particular chapter talks about basically the essence of the love of God. And we'll tell you, folks, the love of God is not wishy-washy. All right? How many people here are parents? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many here had parents? Almost everybody here. That's amazing. Those of you who didn't raise your hand and just happened to be hatched under a lettuce leaf, that piece of lettuce that you were hatched under was your parent. I don't think there's anybody like that, is there, Jerry? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, how many people here, because you didn't always get your way as a child, how many of you hate your parents because you didn't always get your way? Anyone? My mom was mean to me. There was this Saturday afternoon that I wasn't allowed to go to the movies, and they were having 9 cartoons before they were going to show that movie. And therefore, I hate my mom. We don't feel that way. Right? Then why? When God disciplines us, do we get angry at Him? And why do we blame Him? Be imitators, therefore, of God. Those of you who are 30 and above here, how many of you became frightened when you realized, I have become my mother? How many of you became frightened when you realize that's what my dad would have done? You see, the influence and the impact of your parents was such that you literally begin to take on the characteristics of your family and of your parents. My son Jake, and Lynette can verify this, became terribly frightened one day, not too terribly long ago, when someone said, you know, you stand exactly like your father. Isn't that right, Lynette? And they said to Jake, you're becoming more like your dad every day. And I hate to say it, but the older he gets, the wiser I am. I kind of like that power. But you see, influence. Influence is so vitally important. And the closer we get to God, the more like Him we become. We don't become gods. Understand that. But we take on the characteristics of our Father. We take on the characteristics of our brother in Christ. We take on the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, who is guiding us and leading us. And folks, that is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Let the same mind dwell in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you know what the mindset of Christ was? It was submission to the Father and to the Father's will, no matter what. And so Paul is saying, let that kind of compassion, let that kind of commitment, let that kind of reflection rest in you. Become imitators of God. Take on the characteristics of God. All right? Let's move on here. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We reflect the values of our parents. We reflect the passions of our parents. The sad thing is, in our life, we have the tendency to repeat the sins of our parents. And so we have to guard that. And so if we move our focus towards God and our beloved children of His, He becomes our example, our witness, our light, so that we can walk in faith, in truth, in integrity, in holiness. We can walk in a fashion that makes Dad proud. There were two times in the New Testament where Jesus was with people. And the people who were with Him heard the voice of the Father speak. One of those times was at His baptism. Do you remember that? Jesus went with John the Baptist down into the river, and John the Baptist baptized Him. And as He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and landed on Him. And through the sky, everyone heard these words, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is My beloved Son. You know, when we enter in to a faith relationship with God by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become beloved sons and daughters of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Take on His nature, His characteristics, His passions. And you know what? Our whole life focus changes when we come into a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember some of the changes, of course, that took place in my life. I've shared my testimony here before. I was a drunk. I was a rock and roll musician who went from bar to bar night after night playing and that type of thing, and left every one of them not knowing how I got home, not knowing any of that kind of stuff. But when Jesus Christ spoke to my heart and my life about my need for salvation, and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, suddenly that life that I had lived became something I wanted to shun and I wanted to get away from. No longer held the attraction to me that it did at one point. But instead, I found myself not wanting to offend God. Our perspectives change. And I remember how, as a fairly young believer, how perspectives in my life changed when our first child came along. When Lynette was born, and the very first time I held her in that hospital, I thought, Lord, you've got to be joking. You're going to expect me to have the wisdom, the discernment, the understanding to raise this child? And God spoke to me very clearly, and He said, no, I'm going to expect to have the wisdom and the discernment. I'm trusting you to love this child and not to do anything that is going to damage this creation of mine. Wow. Do you know how freeing it was to realize I didn't have to be smart? That was very freeing. And to realize that it's God's responsibility. All He's doing is trusting me to follow Him, to do the right things. And so I found myself more and more, as my children grew, I found myself wanting to be more like my Father in heaven so that I could be a good example to the children that He had entrusted to me. Folks, when you come to that realization, it changes the way that you view parenthood. These kids are not ours. They're His. And He is trusting us to do what's right. That puts a whole new perspective on, because it makes us realize that for us to be the kind of parent we need to be, we need to follow the example of our heavenly parent, of God Himself. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. There's a lot in that thought, isn't there, that Paul is putting out. There's a lot there. Look at how he continues. Verse 2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Walk in love. You know, every year at Good Friday, we celebrate the darkest moment in the history of mankind. And that's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But you know, once we get into the right mindset, we realize that this is the most beautiful expression of love that has ever been given to man. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because His death, burial, resurrection is what gives us hope. That's what gives us life. Jesus stayed on that cross when He didn't have to. He could have come down. But he stayed on that cross because it was love that held him there. It was the love for his Father to follow through on the plan of salvation. And it was love for you and I that kept him there, knowing that if his sacrifice wasn't completed, we would be without hope. Now, when we begin to realize that, and Paul says, walk in love, what is he saying? Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Now, I had mentioned to you that love carries with it a realm of discipline. It carries with it, if you will, a comfort and encouragement. It is the complete package. If we don't love, then we really don't care that people die and go to hell. It doesn't mean a thing to us. But I'll tell you what, it means something to God. Because it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God loves each and every one of us. You remember John chapter 3, verse 16? Probably every one of us here could quote it. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the love of God that brought Jesus to this world. It is the love of God that brought hope to this world. Even the love of God that planted the cross on Calvary's Hill. Because if God didn't love, He wouldn't have cared. And if God loves us that much, that He's willing to take on our sin, shouldn't we have His passion for those who don't know Jesus Christ? Yeah, we should. Walk in love. We're going to cover more on that issue in a bit, but I want us to look at this. Okay, look at verse 3. But, oh, here it comes. Whenever the word but shows up, you know we're making a transition here. Okay? Therefore means check and see what therefore is there for. All right? But means here's the other side of the coin. We want to pay attention. Okay? Walk in love, but do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. There's the but. There it is. If we're going to love God and be imitators of Him, we cannot continue to walk in unrighteousness. And when a brother or a sister in Christ walks in unrighteousness, it is the church's responsibility to approach the issue. Because God does not want His children to live by the standards of Satan. He wants His children to live by the standards and the character and the nature of God. He wants his children not to be imitators of the world, but to be imitators of him. And so to take on love. And I tell you, it is unpleasant when we have to deal with such things as discipline, when we have to deal with taking care of work at the house of God. It's not fun. But sometimes it's absolutely necessary. But we're uncomfortable with that. We really are. We're uncomfortable because people misunderstand and they think, boy, if you discipline someone, you don't love them, because love just overlooks everything. That's not what love does. Think back to your parents. If your parents loved you, they would have just let you do anything you wanted. Right? Yeah, yeah. And being a parent, we begin to understand that. It's tough to discipline our kids, right? It's tough for God to discipline us, but he loves us enough that he does it. And you see, within the body of Christ, we've got to be willing to take that stand. Not be wishy-washy. When we become wishy-washy, the body of Christ is hurt. The appearance of God is hurt because we are reflectors of the grace and the nature of God. We are reflectors of the character of God. And people are going to judge our God by our behavior. We recently did a concert in a park. And at the close of that concert, a young man came up to me. He and I see each other every once in a while. And he always gives me a hug. I always give him a hug. He's a nice young man. But he has really gotten in to some terrible, terrible things. And he's begun to run with a crowd that are very goth-like. That are very much into to things that are not honoring to God. And I began to talk with him at the close of that concert, and I said, "Man, we miss you at church. Why don't you come on back?" And he said, "Ah," he said, "I've seen people at church. And if that's what being a Christian is, it's not what I want." And I talked with him about the fact that he's not to look at people. He's to look at God. And he is to follow God. And he said, "Well, there's just too many hypocrites." And I said, "You know what? Then church is where you need to be. Because you're one." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You just told me you don't have to go to church. You live by the Bible. Didn't you tell me that?" "Yeah, I told you that." "Then if you lived by the Bible, then you'd be in church." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "What does the Bible say about church?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Hebrews 10:25. What does it say?" It says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even more so," it's more important, "as the day of Christ approaches." And if you say that you live by the Bible, and yet you keep yourself away from church and from worship together with the body of Christ, then you're a hypocrite. He said, "Huh." And then he had to go home. But you see, Folks, it's important that we live and walk in a manner that honors God. Because when we live and we walk in a manner that honors God, people see what God is doing in us and they give Him glory. But when we live hypocritically, we point people to a rejection of God. It's a heady responsibility that we have as believers. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men. In other words, let your character be such that your life attracts people to God. Do you ever go outside at night with a candle? I encourage you to do this. Have you ever done that? Gone outside at night with a candle and just stood out there in a dark area of the yard and held it? Have you ever done that, Jerry? Long time ago. Anyone ever do that? What happens? What's that? It's incredibly bright. It's incredibly bright. What else? You attract all the bugs. Lights up the area. You see, all of that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we stand for Christ and live honorably before Him, the world sees what God wants. And they begin to glorify Him. And there becomes an attraction that makes people want to be like Jesus. When we live like Jesus. My challenge to you tonight is these first three verses. Live for Jesus. Be imitators of God so that people can see the good works of God in your life and have an attraction like a moth being drawn to that candle. All right? So that others might see Christ in you and glorify your Father. Let's stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for these who have come here tonight, and Father, I thank You for the testimonies. It's so encouraging to know that You're at work in so many circumstances and in so many lives. Father, it just amazes us, and we shouldn't be amazed because You love us so much, but we're just amazed at the ways that You reveal Your love to us. Now, Father, help us to be amazing. Help us to leave this place tonight resolved deep in our heart to be imitators of You. To love, to honor You, to let our lights shine for You in such a way that people will see You at work in us and desire to have what we have because of our love for You. Now, Lord, watch over us this week. We're going to face trials. We're going to face temptations. We're going to face all kinds of difficulties, but none of those things will take You off guard. And You have promised to be with us and to give us help and guidance. And Lord, we'll rejoice in that. And we give you praise for all these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.